We roll on into hour two, live in Oxnard. Practice going on. The boys are down on the field giving you the play-by-play and analysis. Camp brought to you by the on-time experts Rhino Shield and Yardbird Southern Table and Bar. An eventful 5 minutes there at the break. Mozzie made a play. Elam had a pick. Well, Chuck, tell me more.
He sure did. A little miscommunication with Dak and CD as CD continued to run a deep route, and I think Dak thought he was going to curl back, and Kyrie Elam just jumped it as the ball was thrown very, very short. Dak immediately trotted over to CD to talk to him about it as they were not on the same page. But Kyrie Elam keeps stacking up good days.
Yeah, it was his third interception in seven practices. We got a little scrimmage going on here.
Yeah, you could see this was brewing.
Yeah, I couldn't tell.
It's gotten a bit chippy here the last couple plays, and I think this is the second team. Brock Hoffman, you know, is in the middle of that one. Him and Mozzie are starting to shove each other back and forth, and Mozzie's getting called off.
Yeah. Well, that was a play, though. Milton throws the ball in the flat to Blue, and as Blue was running up the field, it's a third down run. He gets the first down on the catch, but then all of a sudden, and you talked about the chippiness of the play, was happening all behind that.
Was the Dak pick from Elam like a miscommunication? The wide receiver just kept running?
That's exactly what happened.
It's funny. It's like CeeDee went vertical on the route, and Dak was thinking he was going to probably get a deep comeback or a deep out. And Elam just read exactly, you know, the ball was heading that direction. Elam just drove out of it. He's like, listen, I'm not covering you anymore. I'm just going to get this football. And was able to make the play. And then Dak walked over to CeeDee afterwards, kind of put his arm around him like to say, hey, listen, maybe I was thinking – you were going to do something differently there, and that was the miscommunication.
What can you tell me more about that, Mozzie? Was it a TFL?
Yeah, Mozzie was able to win. I mean, he was working against the twos. It was able to get up the field, get around the guard and make the play there. He was able to get Hoffman was playing the guard spot, and he was able to go around Hoffman to make that play.
Alrighty, it's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Three live mics brought to you by the on-time experts, the official AC heating and plumbing partner of the Dallas Cowboys. We're going to have Donovan Ezeraku coming up on the show here in about 40 minutes or so. Krusty's Corner going to unload the notebook here coming up at about 3:15, 3:20. What's going on now, guys? They changed to the next portion. What are they focused on now?
Yeah, it's still – they're still kind of – they've been pretty stationary with the ball. They're right outside the red zone, I believe. Zach, am I right about that? Is the ball
outside?
It looks like it's on about the 22-yard line. So, you know, good job there by the defense being able to rally the ball. It's the ones are back in. So this will be one defense versus one offense. Keep an eye on with Nate Thomas. He's been doing a pretty good job. When I was watching him against Marshawn Nealon during the break, a couple of pass sets where Nealon had a really hard time of working him backwards. And so that was something pretty encouraging to see.
Well, he's got Ezeraku and Sam Williams opposite him here.
Hey, good pickup there. Picked up Ezeraku on the play. He was able to kick to the outside. Good set, balance. Boy, he has to be happy about that rep. Ezeraku has been giving everybody fits the way he gets off the ball. And Nate Thomas was in a good football position right there to accept him and not let him get too far up the field.
So your first impressions, like, of the developmental tackle stuff, the footwork, the not reaching, the staying inside yourself, how much of that is there with Nate?
Well, it looks like to me, like I've said, I've watched him three plays on pass rush, and every set has been pretty good. He hasn't been too far over his feet or anything like that, but yeah, just the balance. That's the main thing, especially against a guy like Ezeraku who can find a way to win the corner on you really quickly. And, you know, he showed really, really good patience on that to be able to make the set and then absorb the rusher and sit down and not let him go any further. Good
now,
job.
Now, I guess Todd Archer tweeted this. Maybe you guys mentioned it as I was looking, but Shoddy did kick out the tackle of Johnny Cornelius for throwing that punch.
Okay, there you go.
So
he said if you throw punches, you're effing gone.
Yeah. Johnny Cornelius has just been escorted out. I got Christy over here who is making notes in the notebook right now. Christy, well, what are you thinking so far from practice?
Well, it looks good. Here's Dak, corner around.
Oh, there we go.
It's a touchdown to CD.
Another one.
We just had the little skirmish there, and Cornelius was taken up towards the locker room, and he was escorted by Cable Johnson, who's Cowboys security. So I wonder if it was a result from the little skirmish there. Because if it were a medical issue, it'd be one of the trainers or doctors, most likely.
Yeah.
No, Shotty's not messing around.
No, and I tell you what, hey, thank you, Christy, for that really nice throw by Dak. CD running a little bit of a kind of a corner route on that. They're just inside. They're on about the 12-yard line, and Lamb was able to go up. And Dak did a good job of reading because Hooker was the guy in coverage. So they were able to scheme that where they got Hooker in coverage on Lamb by alignment, and they got him enough space where he was able to work the corner, and Dak put the ball right where it needed to be.
I mean, if you could get confidence passing it in from inside the 10 or 15-yard line, this offense could go to the next level, and maybe we could finally say goodbye to settle in for field goals.
Yeah, that was a really nice design. They're playing these condensed formations down here, so everybody's pretty tight, and you know it makes the defense have to play pretty tight. But they did a good job of getting Hooker in coverage on that particular play.
Well, that's outstanding. Do you think they're going to be able
nice.
To get – I mean, and wouldn't you just go – if you got CeeDee or Pickens in man in that red zone situation, are you just throwing to him or are you gonna try to run it in?
Yeah, you just throw it to him if you have to. Right there, Ferguson with a touchdown. Zach, I saw a slot blitz coming from the backside. I think it was
– Yeah.
I think it was a welcome back to Ron Bland. I think nice. he was up slot. I mean, it had been to the left of Dak. Dak threw the ball to the right here, Ferguson. Ferguson with a nice catch right at the
really
pylon.
Good route, too.
Yeah, really good route. But, man, I mean, Dak might have got blasted from the backside. Again, Bland pulled off before he got there. Oh, here's a reverse.
Yeah, it's Jalen Brooks who takes it from the right to the left side.
Yeah.
They're using some of this now where you got Brooks, you got CeeDee Lamb who's gotten a carry. Javonte Williams a couple plays ago was showing off his ability as a pass catcher out of the backfield. So, I mean, you really are seeing everybody, at least from the running back room, get a chance to touch the football here. Moffa, I think, might have had the best run that I've seen out here today.
Very nice. And Jaden Blue getting quite a bit of burn with the first team. Nick Harris is saying that the offensive lineman, Johnny Cornelius, might be hurt. So conflicting reports on that. We'll look for confirmation. What's going on next, boys?
Well, it looks like they're still down in this. They're really just outside the 10-yard line. So they're working. The ball has been pretty consistently about the 12-yard line.
We're definitely working red zone here.
Yeah, we are working some red zone stuff. But here we have motions inside handoff. And there. Oh, it's the
– And the fake out. Yeah. It has a little play action. Yeah. They just popped it out. They had everything flowing to the left. They just have Neville, the fullback, come over to the right side in the flat. Dak just hit him for an easy pickup.
Seems like Dak's just freaking dialed today. Is this his best camp?
Well, I tell you,
the throw that
he made outside to Lamb for the touchdown was beautiful. The throw he made on the interception, God knows what he was thinking on that one. So, yeah he's had some moments where it's been some the deep ball throw he made yesterday to Pickens, I thought was a beautiful, or 2 days ago was a beautiful play. For what we've seen so far, though, they've been trying to run the ball. Here's the sack right here. That's gonna be Wheat. And guys like that, Tyrus Wheat gets back there. Joe Milton really holding the football, and then he tries to escape, but Tyrus Wheat was all over him right there. So, yeah, Dak has had some really quality throws, and then some others where, like I say, the interceptions are some of the guys he just hadn't seen, or he didn't see the defender, or like that one right there, they had a miscommunication between him and Lamb.
Well, I mean, it's going to be, clearly his job. I despite what the TikTok content creators say, there's no threat from Joe Milton. But why aren't we hearing more about Will Greer in these reps?
Well, they have completely just given this. I don't think I've seen Will Greer take a rep yet.
No, we have not.
Yeah.
They're trying to get Joe Milton the best opportunity to know the offense.
And that's Holden again, the Oregon undrafted rookie free agent who was with Junior Adams, the new wide receivers coach, a year ago. And Milton did a good job, was able to keep that one low, just looped it right past, I think it was one of the linebackers.
Zion Childers was in coverage, and you could see that he was – and they kind of had a little bit of a problem between him and Bruce Harmon, I believe, Bruce Harmon, the corner, and then the other corner, Zion had a problem. Childers had a problem. It was kind of they were both playing like in and out. But Milton did a great job of fitting the ball right in there between them.
Now we got 1v1 here.
Yeah, we're inside the 10 now. We're on about the 8-yard line is what we're looking at here with the one versus one.
Mingo out wide. Now, Terp's going to be in the slot here against Childress in a shotgun, and they're going to run a little play action. Boom, Fergie again. He's got it for another touchdown.
Yeah, that was
just
that
faked
was
a, it right out to the flat.
Yeah, they did. They faked that ball coming left, or excuse me, coming to the right, and Ferguson was out in the flat to the left. Dak just pulled it and fired it out to Ferguson, and he was able to beat McQuamu to the corner right there for the touchdown.
I think that's three straight plays for Dak now, three straight touchdowns.
Yeah, would you say offense definitely getting the better of the defense today?
I would say from what we've seen so far, it's been, there's been a couple of times there where probably were some plays where big plays would have been called sacks. I think there were two of them that like that. But in so far, once we've got inside the 10-yard line, it seems like the offense has kind of found their footing a little bit.
All righty, it's the G-Back Nation here. We got three live mics going on out there on the field. Guys, if there's a play you need to describe or jump in, feel free to do so.
Yeah, right there, Dak tried to throw the ball to Mingo. Mingo's working on the outside against McQuamu playing the left corner, and Dak just threw the ball a little bit too wide. Mingo, he's got some reach to him. He just could not pull that one in.
Hoping for the best for Mingo. If he can be a threat in the passing game just to offer that the defense has to react to and they don't know that, you know, it's just him coming into run block, that would be massive.
Yep.
Speaking of the run game, I think the most headline-worthy thing of the day so far is Schottenheimer saying that the thing that you got to do playing elite defensive lineman is pound the frickin' football.
Yeah.
Just try to shove it up there. Bleep!
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. Speaking my language out there.
Well, there's Booker just got beat by... Tolbert missed the ball there, misplayed. Booker was beaten badly by Osa Odigizua. That would have probably been a sack right there. So Dak was able to kind of run to his right. He tried to throw the ball to Tolbert on the back line, and Tolbert just couldn't pull it in.
But they ended up having Lamb and Pickens on the same side over there, and Tolbert did a good job. They kind of went into scramble drill. He's working on the baseline, and Dak just had to kind of throw one up to him to give him a shot at it. Just couldn't make the catch.
I don't know. This thing might be over. Let's see. But Shotty's bringing everybody to the middle of the field. I don't know if he wants to have a word with, like, listen, hey, we need to stop all this BS with kind of being chippy here. I think that might be the talk we're getting into right now.
Oh, we're about to get red-ass Shotty ripping the guys for not having better discipline. They have for the last week. There's been great intensity, but they haven't had any fighting until just about 20 minutes or so ago. Let me ask you this, unless you guys have something to evaluate from that. Players still available in free agency, guys, as we sit here on this Wednesday, week and a half into camp. Any need for Amari Cooper, Asante Samuel Jr., Stephon Gilmore, Za'Darius Smith, obviously not. But you have Keenan Allen out there. You have Kaiser White, Jadeveon Clowney, Marcus Williams. How about Will Hernandez? Now, I saw he was finally cleared yesterday at the guard spot.
Yeah, I think to me right now, I think that usually the first couple weeks of practice, you kind of get an idea about what you want to do, maybe what your team's going to look like. I think if they're going to hunt anything, I would hunt corners. I would try and hunt some corners here. I think, you know, with Carson being out and Bland being back in the mix, though, McQuamu, I think they want to play McQuamu in the slot some. I think if there's a position I'm going to hunt right now, I'm going to hunt the cornerback spot. They might be, you know, with the defensive tackle spot, that's something that, you know, it looks like to me they're pretty comfortable, at least through this, playing with a little bit lighter guys inside. But I like to say that, Zach, I don't know if you have any feelings about
that.
Yeah,
well, I mean, I'm with you on corners 100%, but, I mean, kind of talking around.
Yeah.
They don't agree with us. I think that they like what they've got right now, and I think they might believe that Diggs and Revelle could be ready to go possibly week one. So, I mean, because I had the Gilmore conversation. I went back, kind of tried to do some homework on that, and I don't think Gilmore is in play, at least right now. Now, if an injury happens...
Oh, I don't think he is either. I don't think he is either.
But I think that they're kind of content with the room they've got. Now, things can change. They go and do some of these preseason games. Maybe it doesn't look as good. But at least today, some of the chatter that I got is I think they're fine with the way the room is, and they feel good about getting some of these guys back healthy, which kind of counters some of the chippiness we've heard back and forth with Diggs. Like, is he behind or is he not behind?
Man, if you get Diggs and Revelle back, I think that changes a lot about how it would look at this team's chances of success.
Yeah,
Brian, have you seen Shotty run these guys like this?
No, I have not. This is the first period of seven. They're doing like a version of kind of like gassers is really what they're doing.
I wonder
here.
If this is punishment.
Yeah, one of the family members who's heading through the VIP tent just stopped. I don't know if you heard her, but she goes, they're running suicides?
Yeah. he ripped them pretty good. Eric, what do you got?
Yeah.
So you think they're running as a result?
A little bit too physical, a little bit too fight happy. So he called the team up and mother bleeped him for about 30 seconds and said, if you guys want to fight, then we're going to fight it out running some gassers.
Okay.
Wow. So this is the first, like, shoddy disciplinary action here on field. I love it.
This is Herb Brooks. This is like, again, we play for the USA, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, you guys got so much extra energy. You want to fight? You know, you got time after the play to get in a wrestling match when the team needs you for the next rep? Okay, well, cool. Cool, this is great. You know, let's just get you here totally winded. And there is nothing that will send a stronger message than, hey, if you don't do what I say, you're going to feel like this tomorrow late in practice as well.
Absolutely.
Well, great stuff, boys.
Thank you very much.
That is fantastic coverage. The three live mics. Every day we have Cowboys practice here. We'll do it again tomorrow starting at about 3:30, 3:40. And three live mics brought to you by the On-Time Experts, the official AC heating and plumbing partner of the Dallas Cowboys. We'll come back, get you Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. And Donovan Ezeraku here next on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. And it is time now to speak with Cowboys cornerback Deron Bland live at training camp. He is on the Wild Fork Foods hot seat, wildforkfoods.com, elite game day grilling favorites. And, man, welcome back to camp. Congratulations on your baby.
Thank you.
That was amazing. Wasn't it great the organization just gave you as much time as you needed there to go?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely get that good feeling. Like, you got your coaches that got behind your back and supporting you. So it was definitely good.
I was looking for a cigar. I was like, man, I go, my guy, I know he's got some high-end cigars probably somewhere in that kit somewhere. No, congratulations, man.
I mean, we're all dads on the show. Yeah. I still remember when my first one came out. It just seemed like everything about the universe changed in that moment as soon as I got the first look. How was that moment for you?
It's definitely a life-changing experience. You know, it's different. Like, now you're bringing somebody else into this world that you're kind of in control of. You know, and they're trying to a little bit of their destiny. So it's the best, like, just another part of leading. You know, I feel like I'm ready for that part.
Right on.
Did you make it back in time for the birth?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So tell us about what was going on today. Seemed like a chippy practice, and then there at the end, Shoddy'd had enough and made him run gassers. Were you a part of that?
Oh, no, I wasn't part of it, but, you know.
the team.
But, no, it's just kind of like our motto this year, just being physical. And sometimes it gets like that. So,
yeah.
It's just us trying to tie it in together and just be able to practice with it.
Yeah, I mean, Coach, we're being physical, but you want us to go right to that line and stop? Mm-hmm. I mean, is that tough sometimes for some players, I guess?
Yeah, it's definitely tough because, you know, you got to tap in like a different mode at the same time, but you got to know your environment to control it.
Yeah, no doubt. So what do you think of Shoddy? Obviously, first-year head coach, he seems like the nicest guy and the vibes are immaculate, but when y'all go too far, like a switch flips inside of him. What's that like?
He definitely has both sides, you know, the fun side and then that real discipline side where he's going to get on you. So it's good that he's able to do that and gel with us at the same time. So
how you feeling, man? You know, you're ready to rock. It's a big year for you. We had Stephen Jones on yesterday, and he you know, maybe saying that you and the agent are talking and everything. You feel like something's going to get done, and you're going to be here a long time?
I mean, hopefully something gets done. But, yeah, that's something we've seen my agent get done, hopefully.
Is that something, though, when you go out and you practice so hard, when we watch you practice and all, and having to cover all these guys, and I just wondered, is that stuff in the kind of the back of your mind, or is it just – like, is it something you just able to kind of push away and practice and then go back to it when practice is
over? I mean,
over?
It's of course, it's always there, but at the same time,
you're human, man. Yeah. You're human. We all exactly. want it paid.
But
right?
At the same time, trying to just think about just getting that, bringing back that chemistry back with my teammates, missing so many times last year. So just trying to get that chemistry back and getting that feel back with my team.
How hard was that for you, though, last year? I mean, you had these incredible year and then you get injured and stuff like that with your foot and all. How tough was that? People don't realize that, you know, you make your living with your feet.
Yeah.
You know, and is that something that you'd like, hell, I don't want to go through that ever again?
Yeah, it's definitely tough for me because that was my first injury ever.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
So and missing games. So it was definitely took like a toll on me a little bit, just missing 10 games and being hurt. But I got a guy and my family to help me get through it.
So we talked with you last year, and you had mentioned how, like, rookie season was the first time you ever played in the slot.
Yeah.
Now, and if you disagree with this, please let me know. I think that that's actually super valuable. Hmm. It might be the most challenging thing, having to work inside now with the way offenses are moving their best receivers around to create matchups. So is that something that you, like, playing outside, that's really only what you want to do? Or are you open now with the loss of Jordan Lewis to play some nickel?
It's kind of tough. Like, you know, I always want to be outside because that's what I've always been. So, but I'm not too opposed to it. But I do want to be outside.
Right. So for you, what are the differences that goes into that, playing outside versus having to play inside?
You got to worry about the run now a lot more. You got to pay attention to what the O-line is doing and then pay attention to what kind of routes you're going to get off of that. So it's a lot of more movement parts in the inside. Mm-hmm.
Well, I respect your willingness, despite maybe that not being your favorite role, man. When you play that, you're a dog there. And like the physicality factor, you know, I think that's something. How much has Eberflus talked about that? Like, hey, as a corner, you got to tackle, man.
Oh, yeah,
you got to play the run, and you do that. You do great at that, and I respect that a lot.
I appreciate that. But now, yeah, Flus always on us, but in his defense, the corner's going to tackle. So
yeah.
I'm always used to it, so it's nothing to me.
So what is different about the Eberflus defense compared to maybe last year's with Zim?
I'd probably say just like disguise a little bit more, losing more zones and stuff, so it was like that.
Did you on a slot blitz today?
Yeah.
I told you. Yeah. I go, he came for the backside, and evidently it was the pass. I think it was going to be the pass to Ferguson. It was a touchdown. Nah. Yeah. That's a sack. It's a sack and maybe a turnover.
Yeah, I came free on that.
Because my man is going to punish Dak in the back on the slot blitz.
That's the fun. That's the funnest time to play the nickel.
Yeah, right. That's when you get to blitz in the ball.
Hit there a quarterback.
Yeah, hopefully I get a sack on my stats. So
yeah,
it's Deron Bland here with you in the G-Bag Nation. You're obviously known by fans for the pick sixes. Mm-hmm. What goes into that from your perspective? Is that reaction? Is that study? How much of each?
I'll say all ties in together. You know, it's definitely a film study. You got to know when the timing is going to be like that, and really just trusting your instincts right there, and stressing what you see, and just going and not hesitating.
And then when you get the ball, I mean, you look like an offensive player. Where's that come from?
Growing up, I used to always play offense. Up until high school, I was doing both sides.
Yeah.
And then I thought in going to college I was going to do a little bit of receiver too, but no. I don't want to get hit, so I'm good.
We got a new teammate, Kair Elam, making a lot of interceptions. Mm-hmm. Who else in this defensive back room do you think can take him? Is that a big point of emphasis?
Yeah, there's definitely obvious emphasis of taking away the ball. It's definitely out of position. So, but yeah, I see a lot of guys. Booth, he's definitely making some plays. And then our rookie Zion, he's been making some plays, getting picked. So,
yeah,
I feel like there's a lot of guys that can get out there and do it, and just really just trusting the instincts.
Last year there was a discussion, I think around midseason, that maybe the players hadn't learned the new defense as good as they would have liked to. You know, how would you say the adjustment period is going to a new defense this time around?
It's definitely a lot right now. Still getting thrown at it because it's just a whole new, different thing that a lot of us are learning. But I feel like it's doing good so far, the way our coaches are bringing it into us and introducing it to us.
We got to chat with GP3 the other day. How's it been going up against George Pickens and now him and CD?
Oh, it was fun. You know, I missed the matchup when we played the Steelers last year. So, but now I got to really see what he's about and stuff. I can't wait for that duo to see real action.
How much more difficult for a defense is it preparing for an offense that has two number ones like that?
It's hard. It's like you don't know who's really going to get the ball at the same time. So it's a lot of times teams can mix it up. This third down, okay, we're going to go all him. And then our next time, we're going to go to the next side, other side. So you can't finally find who to double.
Well, in terms of like a skill set of a receiver, what's the more difficult, like a super speedy, shifty guy or the bigger body Pickens tight?
I'll say the speedy and shifty guys is always the guys that you can't get your hands on. That would be the hardest.
Who's the best receiver?
The best receiver?
Not on the team, but that you've gone up against.
I mean, I got against a lot. That'd be tough to say.
Yeah.
We love a good list. I mean, you can rank it.
Don't
give too much love to the opposition.
Seriously, though, when it comes to the turnovers and the emphasis on it, is it more than any other defense and coaches? I mean, they're always talking turnovers, but it feels like with the Eberflus stuff, like it is they're drilling the heck out of it.
He's drilling everything. You know, he's big on being physical and getting turning the ball over. So any way we can get the ball, punching it, getting picks out the air. And just hard tackles, so it's anything.
I liked your little sneak attack early in camp on Pickens, forcing that down the field. That was nice.
Yeah, Eberflus is all about hustle on our defense.
What was your mindset like during rehab? Was that tough? Was that a grind?
Yeah, just really trying to just get back on the field and be healthy. I'm one of those guys that's hard to take things slow at the same time. So that's the hardest part, too, trying to take it day at a time.
Did you learn anything about yourself, like mentally grinding, going through that, the patience of it, the tribulation?
Yeah, I learned the patience. One of the biggest things I kind of didn't have. It allowed me to sit back and just reflect on what I was doing.
Yeah. Now, those feet can be tricky. Everything feels 100% good to go.
So, you know, they still have those aches and pains, but most part, it's been good.
Are you looking to add anything to your game at this point in your career, or just refining what you do well already?
More sure refine it. You know, a lot of people just think I'm just a pick guy, but I always found myself that I could do both picks and tackles, so I just to be able to show that.
What does being a Cowboy mean to you? How important is it that you continue your career in Dallas?
I mean, it's the first place I came to, so... It's like I always felt like home since I came here, so it means a lot to be here.
How did so many teams in the Pac-12 miss you? I mean, nothing against the Bulldogs of the Valley, man. They tough football players. How many guys? It's amazing to me that you're not play. You didn't play at UCLA or USC, and I know you played at Fresno. There was a reason, God's plan, and all that stuff. But I'm amazed when you first came in the league. I said, how do you miss this guy? How do you miss a guy that plays at this kind of level? But the guys at Fresno did a nice job there. But what? Just rail on the Pac-12 right now for not.
But it's kind of easy.
I'm going to rail on them because there's coaches there, and I'm sure they're good coaches. Mm-hmm. You're a hell of a football player. Somebody didn't recruit you, and that's a mistake.
Yeah.
That's a mistake right
there.
Well,
coming out of high school, I only had one offer. That's why I went to go on to Sac State.
Evaluators were
Sac
idiots.
State's producing a lot of talent, though.
Yeah, they do, actually.
Yeah. Sac State. So what's the roommate situation like for you?
Right now?
Yeah.
I don't have no roommate right now.
No, okay, so how does that work? Like, how do you graduate from, do you start off with a roommate, and then now when you get into the league a few years, you get to live solo?
Yeah, that's what it is, basically. The older you get, you know, you don't get much roommates and stuff. So. Is you like first year, second year, kind of.
Okay.
So, once you lead the league in pick sixes, you pretty much.
You set a record.
Jerry's room.
When it comes to, I'm curious, because it looks like the offense, they're doing some different things right now, right? And they're implementing the motion and all the pre-snap stuff and heavier personnel groupings. How much more difficult is it to defend an offense like that as compared to just a stagnant offense that you've seen from, honestly, the Cowboys up until now?
I mean, it makes the team offense less predictable. You don't know how the sets they're going to often use sometimes and what time they're going to use those sets. Because, you know, sometimes, like certain downs, they'll use this type of formation, this type of personnel, but our offense right now, we got so many motions, so many people coming in and out, so it's kind of hard to tell.
I love it. In and out. You getting cheeseburgers out here?
What about the brisket sandals?
I had enough In and Out.
Enough In and Out? Okay, well, yeah. What about the brisket sandals? That's a damn good question. I don't even know how you thought about that.
Brisket sando action?
I haven't yet.
No, but what? But back home? I mean, the barbecue in Texas.
Oh, it's
outstanding.
All the time. You know, I was trying to find something else.
Okay.
What's a game day regimen like for you? Let's say it's the run-of-the-mill 315 AT&T Stadium.
I'll at least try to get some pasta in me before games. You know, try to be able to burn that carbs out, usually.
Is it like a fettuccine, or are we going with a marinara? Meatball?
Nah, fettuccine.
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 Walchuk had the fettuccine Fire. Last night.
Yeah, I went to chicken parm, and I subbed the side for the fettuccine Alfredo. It was out.
Well done.
How competitive are you guys getting out here off the field? On the field, I know you guys are getting after it. You guys got stuff going on here? The camaraderie?
Nah, I kind of just chilling right now. We're in camp right now. Everybody want to compete every day.
At some point, we got to stop competing here. Catch our breath for a second.
Just take a breather.
All the young guys are competing. I'm just kind of catching my breath. Well, everybody's fighting. I'm just kind of standing over catching my breath.
I love hearing the welcome to the NFL moment stories. Mm-hmm. Do you have one that stands out to you?
Well, training camp. I thought I was doing good OTAs. Got to training camp. And you make some good plays, but after that, it's like this. Everything's going fast and fast, and then that's where your mental start going away. You start getting tired, and they're still coming at you. I remember one practice, I had like 3 deep balls in a row. I was worked and tired.
Well, Duron, congrats, man, on making that adjustment. A great career. Congrats on the business you're about to get done here with the Cowboys, and congrats on the family, dude. That's so exciting.
Absolutely.
Yeah, real happy for you. Give him hell, we'll be pulling for you.
Thank you.
There he goes, Cowboys corner Duron Bland here on the Wild Fork Foods Hot Seat. We're coming back with Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, live at training camp here on The Fan. Okay, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Lucius, we got to call an audible because CeeDee Lamb is heading for the podiums. We got Krusty's Corner here, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. And Brian has a ton of notes. If you want to come back later on to the show, I know especially at 5:20, we'll be breaking down everything that we just watched on the Cowboys practice facility. But can we patch that in now? Can we get CeeDee Lamb at the podium here in Oxnard? Yeah.
The vibes are amazing. The energy is up. And when we get to the touchdowns at the home games, they're a bit more louder.
Clarence Hill, DLLS Cowboys. When was the last time you had been stopped at practice after run for fighting?
It's been a while. It's been a while, but I feel like that was really necessary. I honestly like what he's doing because we need discipline. We need to be able to go through that line. You know what I'm saying? We need to have that availability towards the team and then that aggressiveness at the same time to be able to be as mad and fight between the whistles. And then as soon as the whistle's done, like, we're going to line it up again. So I'll see you next play type. We need to have that type of energy, not – we're going to get it done right here, right now, like, no matter what. So shout out Shoddy for that. But as for us, we just got to be the best group that we can.
You got like the scrappiness, and certainly you've been scrappy with some defensive backs. They've been scrappy with you.
Right. Yeah, that's not never going to happen. You know what I'm saying? So, like, as for us, we just got to be able to, like, hone it in. Like, okay, that's what we on. All right, I'll see you next play. So go in a huddle, get your play, and then line up again. We finna do this again. Like, so we had that type of energy. Once we get to that point, so we had that type of energy, we're going to be a scary team.
What was the PG version of what Shotty's message? Because it looked like he had a few curse words.
Do we want to be champions? Because, like, throughout the years of us being here, talent was never the problem for us. It was always discipline. How do we, like, get ahead and not behind? You know what I'm saying? Now, how do we not shoot ourselves in the foot? How do we not hurt ourselves? Obviously, when the momentum is going our way, like, we need to continue to keep our foot on the pedal and make the right play and always think about the team.
CD, Todd Archer with ESPN. Is it weird not having one-on-ones and 7-on-7?
Is it weird not having one? Nah, because I'm used to it. I'm used to not having one-on-ones. But I will say, it's been fun. The defense is definitely keeping us on our toes. It's having me read my keys, like, if the backer's dropping here, where is this guy going? So doing all that while playing fast is a bit annoying, but then, I mean, it's sharpening my tools.
When you've not had those drills, like in the past, like, I think you guys, especially the one-on-ones in the red zone and stuff, I think you guys enjoyed that back and forth with the DBs.
Well, yeah, because I love getting on eight tails. Let me say that. I love embarrassing DBs, but obviously we got to be realistic, like, how often are we going to get one-on-ones in a red zone? Granted, unless we're going against the top DB who their defensive coordinator loved the most, we find interest in that. We love that. So for us, it's just about finding, like, being available for Dak. That's the most important thing, for one, and then understanding the zones, reading the zones, make sure that we're on the same page through it all. And then, I mean, when we get in the game, none of it is a surprise. Catch everything. That's my plan. Catch everything, and we'll see what happens after that.
When did you start thinking about that?
I've always been thinking it, but it's like moving with intent. You know what I'm saying? It's a little different than it just being a thought. You have it on paper. You see it every day. And then when you're going into the practice, you switch that mindset, you turn it on. So just remember. I've done pretty good. I had one drop, I want to say, a couple of days ago. Sucked. I hate it. Made me start all the way over, but it is what it is.
Nick Harris, Forward Star Telegram. How can you explain to anyone that's not running in this offense how George Pickens has really been able to help get you open? What have you seen now that the reps are really starting to stack?
I mean, it's pretty much night and day, because if I have two guys on me, I can guarantee you the ball is going to him. Because we're on the same side. And if there's two guys on me, he's one-on-one. So do what you want with that info. But it's honestly fun. Just him understanding the process of taking what we do in meetings and then bringing it out on the field, and him immediately having it click to him on the walkthroughs, is kind of impressive. And I like that because I'm that type of receiver too. I find it fun and learning a new offense and figuring out how they're going to integrate me with it. So as for him, I'm proud of him for it. But I need him to keep doing it too. He's fast. All right. He actually got great eyes. And by that, I mean he's patient. He lets the hole open up before he does, you know, pick where he's going to go. But, nah, he has great eyes. I saw it in pads, and I see it again in Shell, so.
Joe Boyd, Dallas Morning News. Shotty called Micah an elite competitor. And from our standpoint, I think if an elite competitor is not practicing, that can be kind of difficult. Obviously, you weren't here last year. For an elite competitor, how difficult is it to not be practicing?
It sucks. Like, it's terrible, to be honest. But as for Micah, his is to dominate one player that's in front of him. So I feel like for him, it's just like whenever you let them shackles loose on him, he's going to be literally an uncaged tiger, so, or a lion, essentially. So for him, just keep his head on right. Stay positive throughout this whole thing. We know it's going to get figured out. And when it does, we're going to act like none of this happened. I'm going to ask him for $100,000. And he can't tell me no because he has it.
$100,000 for?
See, now you being nosy. That's my money.
Nicole. Just in Dallas Cowboys TV. Obviously, Jalen Tolbert's taking steps each year, but where do you feel like he's grown the most through the first couple of weeks?
He's being more aggressive when the ball's in the air. You could tell that it's kind of been his mindset going up. Even on the ones that he don't come up with, just the thought of him fighting through the DB, like little things like that is where I feel like he's grown. I want to – year four now? He's in year four? I'm getting old. Nah, I'm kidding. But as for him, it's all mentality. He needs to stop thinking so much. He has. I would say from his first couple of years to now, him thinking as much has slowed down, and I just needed him to play much faster. And you can tell that he's done that with his releases, his hand fight, and going to, his ability to go and attack the ball. He's playing to his strong suits, and I feel like once you get that confidence instilled to him, still, it's going to be a hard one to cover.
Mike Leslie, WFA. Working with George, you've always been good at going up and attacking the ball, especially on a fade ball in the end zone. But that's obviously also one of his really strong skill sets. Are there things that you guys are kind of comparing notes on there? And is there something maybe you picked up from him in the first couple months of working together?
Nah, the greatest thief of joy is comparisons. Trust me, it will kill you. So as for GP, we're going to fight to our strengths. If he love them jump balls, go ahead and get it. If you feel like I need to go get them, I'll be over there. He knows that. So, like, for us, it's just playing off one another. Whoever's hot, whoever got the high hand, good luck. You know what I'm saying? Because we probably on fire. You dig what I'm saying? So, like, as for him, we're going to just play to our strengths, understand, like, who got the high hand, who's feeling what. If you feeling it, he can have it. If not, I take it. And that's just, I feel like we're going to be the best version of ourselves, and that's how we're going to get the most out of it. Because once you instill that confidence within both of us that we could be who we think we are, it's going to be a tough duo to stop.
Together. I know some of that's baked into you guys aren't probably going to be part of the special team, so you're off on the side during those special teams periods working together. But how has that relationship between you developed?
Yeah, as you said, just spending quality time together, man. Just understanding, just having those conversations, just like, man, this is mad exciting. So all we got to do is just keep our head down and grind. I mean, it's already destined, you know what I'm saying? With the, like, at birth. With the talent that we have, as soon as we break the huddle, it's already destined. So at the end of the day, it comes down to the work that we put in. How serious are we about it? And are we going to take this to the next level, or are we just going to be another duo that's just playing ball together?
Thank you.
KCD, Pat Doney, NBC Dallas. I was just curious how happy you were for Jake Ferguson, the deal getting done there, and just to see it, knowing that you guys are going to be teammates now for years to come.
You know, all these people that's getting paid just know I got an invoice coming to them. So,
did you ever pay them?
Yeah, I did. So my invoice is doubling. I don't care how much money. Nah, but I'm happy for Ferg, man. He's a watching him from a young pup to who he is now, you know, being a vet and stuff. So you get to see the kids grow up.
You're an old man now.
And then Shadi the other day when we asked about the first padded practice, he said the thing that stood out was the wide receivers blocking and the effort in the run game.
Yeah.
Is the group really embracing that?
Yeah, this is a commitment, man. We want the run game to open us up, and we want them boys to enjoy having explosive plays just as well as we do. You know what I'm saying? We be seeing what they do on the play-action passes, picking up the blitzes, picking up the A-gaps, like things of that. That stuff hurt. You know what I'm saying? But we don't see that because we too busy in the back end trying to get open, you know? But you get back, you look at it on film, and it's like, how can we repay these guys? So once they break to the next level, just understand that they got guys on the next level that's willing to put it on the line for them. And as myself included, like I know I'm a hell of a blocker once I get my mind committed to it. And I feel like when our backers are nice enough with our O-line. Our running backs are nice enough to get to that second level. So once they do, the excitement starts, and we'll see what happens after that.
NBC 5 Down. CD, what are you seeing from
Kair
Elam, your DB out there?
Yeah, he's nice. He's fast. So getting behind him is not easy. But I will say he's real smart. He's real intelligent, and he's comfortable back there. It's not much that you can do to get him, you know, really rattled. I like that he's playing with confidence, and he's in his own little world out there. Obviously, on an island, you're always in your own world, but he's comfortable there. He's building. He's having a really good camp, honestly. And for us, we still gonna go at him, obviously.
Promingo in the receiver room with you. What are you seeing from him, and how can he help this team this year?
Promingo?
Yes, sir.
Oh man, he's strong. That man, he's real strong. And once he keeps that strength in his routes, he's gotten so much better at the top of the route. I've learned that from OTAs, like going throughout OTAs, and then camp, he's gotten way better. He started in OTAs getting better, and then now you can see it in camp. Once we put pads on and things get serious, it's transferred over. So as for him, I'm happy for his growth, and I'm happy to continue to help him. And as I'm helping him, I'm getting better as well, because I'm telling him things that I see from a different point of view and just letting him know where he could be better. And then I'll take my own, the things that I tell him, and I instill it in myself. So
talk so much about how when Dak's on the field, you're back, you're going to have a big year. Dak gets a lot of criticism from outside and don't appreciate the type of player he is. Can you just talk about Dak, how he handled that criticism, even though he's had a lot of success?
Yeah, man, that's what comes with it. It just happens. They're going to criticize him because of the playoff performance, and rightfully so. Like, I love Dak, and I'm with him. I've been with him. You know what I'm saying? So everybody knows how talented he is. Arm talent. He has everything. He's real smart. He's a leader. The leadership is unquestioned. He have his team ready to run through a wall for him. And man, like I said, we'll see. I'm light on my words because I don't really like to do the hoorah and rah rah and then it don't come into fruition. Like, but I know one thing for sure. I don't want to set no empty dreams. But I know we're gonna have a good one this year, though. That's for sure. They don't. First of all, they don't know how hard it is to be a quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. They don't know. Secondly, they don't know how hard it is to play for the Dallas Cowboys. You know what I'm saying? And then the criticism that comes with it and how big the sport fans is with it. And as for Dak, man, he does a great job of, I will say, blocking it out. Because, man, he act like y'all don't even exist sometimes. And it's crazy. I'd be like, bro, do you not see this? Because I see it. And I'm literally right next to you, like, you know what I'm saying? But he does a great job of turning the blind eye, being present, being where his feet is, and just continue to, you know, push and become who he, become a better quarterback, become a better player, father, and friend for me, you know what I'm saying? So just understanding the whole situation of what he's going through, you can make light on him, but that makes us want to battle for him harder.
All right, we're done. Thanks.
Thanks.
There he is, CeeDee Lamb, at the podium here at Dallas Cowboys training camp. I love when he said the issue hasn't been for talent, it's been discipline. So we have to keep the team in mind with everything that we do. Team definitely has had a discipline issue over the years, haven't they, Brian?
Yeah, they have. And, you know, for so many times, I remember Zach Wolchek and I doing post-game shows and McCarthy talking about, you know, the penalties. You know, and then you get to the point where you're like, damn it, stop talking about them and do something about it. And I think this is one of the advantages that Brian Schottenheimer has of being on the staff here with that whole thing. He saw the issues. Mm-hmm. And so now he tries to do his best to correct
this. There was a fight earlier, then towards the end of practice, there was another skirmish, pushing and shoving, and Shotty just decided he had it. And for the first time in my 15 years covering Cowboys training camp, I saw gassers. Yeah, yep. I was like, wow. So that was cool. He said on the success they had in the red zone today, let's be honest, we're not going to get a lot of one-on-ones in the red zone. And he said that he's going to ask Micah for $100,000 when he gets his new contract, and he can't say no because he has it. Then he was asked, what would that money be used for? And he said, see, now you're being nosy. That's my money, said CeeDee Lamb. So money is in the air. Jake Ferguson got done. Daron Bland, who we talked with back at 3:15, seems like he's getting close as well.